Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Do you know that there are levels of God's presence? And until we reach the fullness of who He is, we won't reach the fullness. Hey, Marisol, the kids, this is the Staley family. It is so good to see y'all. It's good to have y'all. It really is. We love you. Whoops. Knocked over a guitar stand. What was I saying? Yeah, that's where I was at when I was talking about the presence of God, and there's measures of God's presence. Until we get to the fullness of who He is, we're going to keep on experiencing the measures of the fullness of who He is until we become fully who He is. So that's going to happen to us. But there's still a lot of presence, His presence, that we have yet to discover. We have Him. We have all that He is inside us. But as far as the manifestation of God in us or coming out of us, we haven't fully experienced that yet. How many of you realize that? We haven't fully experienced the manifestation of Christ in our lives. But as we live and as we look and as we seek Him, we're going to do that. Ephesians 3:19 tells us to know the love of Christ, listen to this, which surpasses knowledge. To know the love of Christ in such a way that it surpasses knowledge. Then he says, that you may be filled up in all the fullness of God. So it surpasses what we know about God. What we know about God is fine, but if it's only knowledge without experience, then we just know about Him and haven't experienced Him. So he says, this knowledge that we have of God's love should be a manifestation. It should be something that we feel and that we experience and that we manifest. For us to become like Christ, we have to be in the process of becoming like Him, but to manifest who He is, to be like Jesus. It also says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we should become a mature man to the measure and the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. If we're not headed to the fullness of Christ in our life in every way possible, then we're going in the wrong direction. Because that's the direction that God said for us to go in. I'm going to give you a couple of keys, maybe two or three keys today, maybe one, but about accessing another level of His presence. Let me say this. Happy Thanksgiving. I won't see you on Thanksgiving Day. I'm going to tell you today, Happy Thanksgiving. Tell your neighbor, Happy Thanksgiving. Now tell your other neighbor, Happy Thanksgiving. So this next level has to do with gratitude. Has to do with giving thanks. You know that I remember, you know, we talk about saying the blessing over food. You know, and actually the Bible, I mean, we can bless the food. We can, but actually the Bible tells us to give thanks. So actually when we were little and we learned this thing about saying thank you, it's God is. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we shall be fed. Thank you, Lord, for our daily bread. See, that was actually a good teaching because it was thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Does that make sense? So give thanks. We have got to learn how to give thanks in a way that is pleasing to God, and not a formula, and not just a ritual, but from our heart to be able to give thanks. Being grateful is twofold. Number one, it's acknowledging the fact that everything that we have is a result of God given and the help of others. So first thing, if you're going to give thanks, you're going to have gratitude or be grateful, you're going to have to acknowledge that you needed help getting where you were. I had a man one time said, I'm a self-made man. And inside me, I was saying, you look it. because when we make ourselves, it gets pretty bad if we're just self-made. And it won't hold up, So we always have somebody in our lives that is helping us along the way. I shared this with them Wednesday night, the other night, about me. And I was at Brother William and Doug's, their brother died, passed away. And I was in line to go down, and I'll make it short. But the line to go down, this other pastor said, you stand beside me as we go down. And I realized that it's a black culture. It's a funeral, black culture, but white culture, black culture. We're people, but our cultures are a little bit different. Not bad, just different. But anyway, he told me to get beside him, and I got beside him, and we got to the end of it, and the pastor was beside me went like that, which I interpreted, you go right. So I peeled off right, but I was the only one that peeled off right. And the mortician had to run and get me. Well, he didn't really run, but he did trot a little bit. And he grabbed me and said, no, you got to go this way. And I said, okay. And all the people just like you were looking, so it's like. So anyway, I said, I'm sorry, but I didn't mean to go the wrong way. But anyway, so before I read the scripture, the Lord gave me something to tell the people. He said, listen, and I was grateful for being a part of the funeral. And I said, before I give the scriptures, I want to say that it's an honor for me to be here. It's an honor for me to be a part of this family, be a part of this funeral. But I'm sure that, just a few moments ago that every one of you were thinking, what is that white boy going that way for? And I said, and I can explain that. And I said, now I didn't say it's his fault. I didn't do any of that, but I told him, I said, I can explain it. And I said, I'm just living life. That's my journey in life. And every once in a while in my journey of life, I go the wrong way. And I have to have somebody, and God always provides somebody to come and get my arm or tell me, this is not the way you're supposed to go. You need to reconsider. You need to go this way. And I said, as long as I stay humble, I'll grow. But if I cannot take correction or advice or tell me that's the wrong way, this is the right way, if I'm not able to take that, I will not grow up. So I was very grateful, and I did tell the congregation, I said, if I bothered you, I ask you to forgive me. But everybody was saying, no, you wouldn't bother. You wouldn't bother. Okay, so that had to happen, and I just humbled myself. And the Lord let me know early on in life that if when you stumble, I'm just making you a little bit more humble. And I don't mind being humble. Sometimes we have to be humbled. Have to get at that place. But anyway, at the end of that story is we're about to adjourn and walk off, so and everything. And then the pastor that went that way, and I peeled off to the right, he stepped back and did this. And I looked at him and I said, ain't no way I'm going to. We're on the stage and I said, there ain't no way I'm going to lead us off this stage. No, I will follow you. And he says, no, go ahead. And I said, I mean it. I'm not going in. We're having this discussion. Everybody wanting to leave. So I said, I'm following you, so you first. And I did. I followed him, and I survived getting out, So But you know, the thing is, we have to be, see, the Bible tells us, and we'll get to that verse in a second, I guess, but he says, in everything, give thanks. He didn't say give thanks. Sometimes we do give thanks for things, but this, he's wanting us to give everything, give thanks in everything. It might not be a good thing that happened, but in it, I'm asked of the Lord. Matter of fact, I've commanded of the Lord to give thanks in everything. So one thing is to acknowledge somebody's there to help you. And actually, to be honest with you, I went to Pastor John after that funeral. I said, Pastor John, I need help. He said, what do you need help? And I told him about it. And he said, I'll help you. I said, I need to learn that culture. I really do. I said, I want to know more about how to do things. I know some of you said, you just don't want to be embarrassed anymore. You know? That wasn't it at all. I want to make sure that I honor whomever I'm around and what group I'm around. I want to honor them. But anyway, first is acknowledging. Second is communicating. So you have to acknowledge that you've been helped, you've been blessed, you didn't make it all on your own. You know, so you have to acknowledge that. Then you communicate to God and others the precise ways that they helped you, to God and others. The precise ways. Precisely, how did I help you? How did he help you? So we have to narrow that down, because the Bible says over in 2 Timothy, it says this, that there are dangerous times coming in the last days. And he says perilous times. There's dangerous times approaching. How many of you would believe that? That's in the Bible. Dangerous, perilous, difficult times are coming. Some of them are here, but there's more coming. And he says this in that passage. He says, one of the signs of the last days and one of the signs of the dangerous times that we're approaching or in, he said, one of them is ungratefulness. People will be ungrateful. And you see, I tell you what, one, again, it talks about principalities and powers over cities and over nations and things of that nature. I think one of them is an ungrateful spirit. You with me? Why? He said you're approaching dangerous times when people are becoming, when it talks about the love of money, selfish, things of that nature. He said, but ungratefulness. See, we're in this season of being thankful. But this should not be just a season. I'm glad it's a holiday, but it ought to be every day that we're grateful. Every day to be thankful. Amen? All right. The Bible warns about us being ungrateful. It says over in Romans chapter 1, it says, for even though they knew God, even they knew, and this word knew, they knew about him. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. See, a lot of people that will come to church and a lot of people that are wrapped up in religion, they know about God, but they don't really honor him with their life. They don't really honor him. We sometimes don't honor him with our words. So they had a knowledge of God, but they didn't honor him. Then it said, nor did they give thanks. Nor did they give thanks. They didn't honor him as God, and they didn't give thanks to him. But they became futile in their own speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This is a knowing of God, but you're not grateful. There's a lot of people are saying, well, you know, I did this all by myself. Well, that's not really not true. Romans chapter 1 in the New Living Translation says, yes, they knew God, but they would not worship him as God. And they didn't give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas about what God was like. The result was their minds were darkened and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. Being ungrateful will lead you into places that you will believe things that are not true about God. The scripture actually correlates ingratitude or ungratefulness as being under the influence of the demonic realm. That's over in 1 Timothy 4. He talks about these days there'll be a lot of seducing spirits, deceiving spirits. And he talks in the first four verses, he talks about gratitude, of having gratitude for what God has given. And when we don't have gratitude, it's equated with the demonic. You're under the demonic influence. I see that as being true. I see people that have no gratitude, no thankfulness at all, because they are self-sufficient and they're entitled. Thankfulness will begin when entitlement ends. Entitlement has to end for you and I to be grateful. You know, when we look at the Christian's life, we don't even own our lives anymore. But we belong to God. He's telling us your life is not your own. We need to, our life is not our own. He purchased us. We belong to him. And we need to be grateful for everything that he's done. Let me say this about, you know, you have that passage. I'm moving ahead a little bit because I don't have a lot of time, but that passage that says, let me see. Oh, I'm really going. I'm 2-3 pages ahead. you'll get some of this, I guess. He says that we should. It's out of Psalms 100. He said, "Serve the Lord with gladness." Have you ever tried to serve the Lord and not be glad about it? Be honest with me. Anybody ever done that? I got a few honest people. Yeah. Sometimes you just it's like this. I gotta go do this tonight. You understand what I'm saying? It's not. Now, and then when we get here, all of a sudden it's like. Everybody don't do that. We don't always do that. I remember when me and Brenda struggled in our marriage. And we're struggling in our marriage. This has been years ago. Not that we haven't struggled recently. Well, you know, no, we haven't. We haven't. It's been great. It really has. But I remember being in the Free Will Baptist, you know, and everything. And we'd ride up to the Free Will Baptist Church, and we'd be, and then pull it in park, cut that motor off, and say, get out of the car. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Man, it's good to see you. I'll grab her hand like I love her. You know, and I do love her, but you know what I'm saying? We're putting on the show. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you're doing it. I've not said any of you've ever done it. I mean, you hook that arm, make sure she's right here, just walk right on in and amen, amen, and get back to the car and pick up where we left off. Don't be doing that. don't applaud that. No, I'm messing with you. So, see, but, you know, but that's part of maturing. That's part of life. That's part of understanding gratefulness. Now, don't y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you've done it at all, but you've heard about it from somebody else, I'm sure. You know. No, but see, the thing is, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with joyful singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Into his courts with praise. See, we don't get it sometimes. We really don't. Because what he's saying is, this thing of entering his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, you know what it's all about? His presence. Because that's where we're headed. It's about his presence. See, when we enter the gate, the gates represents his authority. We can enter into his authority with what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving opens the gates of authority for us to experience the Old Testament. I understand we're not in the Old Testament, but the principles of how to tangibly feel his presence is this way. Enter into the gates, enter into his authority with your thanksgiving, your gratitude. And into his courts with praise. See, thanksgiving is our giving thanks basically for what he's done. Our praise is giving him praise for who he is. Thanksgiving is about his actions. Praise is about who he is. Because the whole process is getting to the presence of God. We already have him. But see, I believe that every time we enter in with a thankful heart, with a heart of gratitude, that he's bringing us into his presence to release another revelation or increase a revelation about who he is. That's another measure of his presence that we may not have experienced. But an ungrateful heart will keep you from that revelation. An unthankful heart, not being able to say thank you for, not being able to give all the gratitude that he deserves, and holding and withholding that, then we can't enter in to his presence or the fullness of it. I'm telling you the truth. You can't get away with an ungrateful heart and think you're doing okay with God. Now, your relationship with him, if you're born again, you got your relationship of being born again, but you don't have the right relationship of pleasing him with your behavior. Because we should be able to please him with our behavior. And the only way to do that is what he says for us to do, go do. So that's how we should enter in. And if you want the depth of more of his presence, then you're going to have to be grateful. And you're going to have to be someone who praises who he is. You're going to have to be grateful. You might not have gotten what you wanted, but you got exactly what you needed. Matter of fact, when we have, how many of you have a prayer list? Some of you do have a prayer list that you pray for on a regular basis. That's great. That's good. But how many of you have a grateful list or a blessing list? I remember the Lord told me that years ago. He said, I want you to, because I was really crying out. And I said, Lord, I really want to know who you are more. See, Moses said this, I want to know your ways so I may know you. So I wanted to know, I wanted to experience him deeper than I ever had at that point in time. And he said, write down, take a piece of paper, write down everybody that has helped you a significant way in your life and be grateful for them. Then that list kept getting longer and longer and longer. And then once I did that, he said, now go tell them, thank you for that. Be specific about it. Go tell them, thank you. I remember when my father was killed, I was 8 years old, and my mom was about to have a nervous breakdown. And they sent the two boys, as my younger brother, sent us to a church family that went to church with us, and we stayed in that house for three weeks. So not only did I lose my father, I lost my mother for 3 weeks. But they took care of us. You understand what I'm saying? That couple came to my mind and wrote, I said, they took care of us for 3 weeks, and we're not even their kids. So I said, I need to go find where they are. I found out that they lived in the same house that they kept us in. So I went to the house and knocked on the door, and the elderly gentleman came to the door, and he said, yes. And I said, are y'all the Suddits? Suddit? I said, yes, son. And I said, well, I'm Terry Howell. Name didn't ring a bell. And then I said, I'm Odell Howell's son. They remembered my father. And they brought me in, and it was just like, it was like a family reunion. And she said, I'm going to make you some cookies. And I said, I don't need any cookies. I'm just here to say thank you. They said, and I told them, I said, y'all took us in, took the two boys in, you know, when tragedy happened to our family, and you took care of us, gave us baths and took care of us, gave us food and handled everything. And I just want to say thank you. Do you know what that did for them? It opened them up. See, here I am just saying thank you at what God said to go do. And I went to do what he said to do. And they were touched by it. They really were, because it was just God's presence. But you know what else happened? They began to tell me. I was 8 years old. Well, then, but I was a lot older. But I did not know a lot of things about my father. But what that did to them, it says, did you know your father did this? Did you know your father? And all of a sudden, what I knew about my father began to just explode. Now I know a whole lot more about my dad. Well, was it for them or was it for me? I did it for them. But God opened his presence to me in such a way that he revealed things to me about my dad that I would have never known, just by being obedient. Which leads me to this next verse. God bless you. God bless you. This is part of my closing. Notice I said part. Listen, Luke 17, 12, and Jesus entered into, and the disciples entered into this village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers. Y'all know this story. Which stood far off. Well, they had leprosy. They couldn't get close to anybody. And they lifted up their voices. Lifted up their... What do you think lifted up their voices mean? They cried out. They yelled. They shouted out. Unashamed. But okay. So they cried out and they said, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he heard them. And when he saw them, he said, listen to this. He says, go show yourselves to the priest. He hasn't prayed for them. He hasn't laid his hands on them. He hasn't said a word about healing. What did he say? Go show yourselves to the priest. When do you go show yourselves to the priest in that day? When they were healed. They had to go get it validated by the priest. It's real. Well, he didn't lay hands on them. Listen to it. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. As they went. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice, hear that loud voice, he glorified God, fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, wasn't they 10 of you? Where are the other 9? And they could not be found because they did not come back to give glory to God. None came back to give glory to God except for this one man. And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, arise. Why did he say arise? He's down on his face. He's still on his face before God, before Jesus. He's down on his face worshiping Jesus. He said, arise and go your way. Thy faith has made you whole. Not only did he get healed, he was made whole. Mary, what does that mean?
He got his digits back.
He was made whole. He wasn't an incomplete person anymore. He was made whole physically, and he was made whole in his life, because not only did he get his fingers back or whatever it was that he's losing, he got his wife back. If he had one, he got his family back. He got his children back. Why? He couldn't be around them. He gave complete restoration to a person that recognized they were healed and turned back that moment just to make sure he went back and said, thank you. Fell on his face to worship him because he knew he received mercy and far beyond that. And because his heart was full of gratitude, he was restored in every way. So there's 3 things here that I want you to capture. Gratitude will lead you to worship. Gratitude will produce worship. He saw what happened, and he was grateful, and he went back to worship. You and I will fail to worship if we don't have gratitude and gratefulness for who God is and what he's done for us. There won't be true worship. It'll be a procedure. It'll be something, but unless gratitude is in our heart, unless we have a thankful heart, there really won't be true worship. So gratitude will lead you to worship. It'll produce worship. Miracles will produce gratitude. How do we know that? Well, he saw that he was healed. And that was what? A miracle. Has there been any miracles in your life? That will produce gratitude. Write those things down that people helped you with and be ready to say thank you to them. And this last thing, so miracles will produce gratitude. And gratitude will produce worship. Obedience, here's the third point. Obedience produces miracles. Obedience opens the door for miracles. How do we know that? As he was going, what did Jesus say? Go and show yourself to the priest. That was a command from God, from Jesus. Go, show yourself to the priest. As he was going, as he was being obedient at the word of Jesus, the Bible says he saw that he was healed. Obedience produces miracles. Disobedience does not produce miracles. obedience does. Here's my question to you. Where is your next step of obedience? What is your next step of obedience? I'm not asking you to give me an answer, but there's a question. There's a situation that he has said, this is what I want you to do. It might not make sense. It might not. You know, we may say, you know, because, you know, he says, I won't get into much of this. He said, rejoice always. Now, how much is always? He didn't say, rejoice part of the time. Rejoice every once in a while. Rejoice always. And some of us said, well, I don't feel like it. How many of you, I don't feel like rejoicing. That's the reason it's a command. Because we don't do it naturally. That's a command. Rejoice always. That's a command from the Lord. Rejoice always. That's not a suggestion. Rejoice always. I don't feel like it. Rejoice anyway. Partner with joy. I'm sorry?
Again, I say rejoice.
And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. He said rejoice always, all the time. Then he says pray without ceasing. So when do you pray? All the time. That don't mean get on your knees and close your eyes. You know, I don't recommend that driving down the road. You know, I'm going to pray just a few minutes. Lord, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. You know, and then he says, in everything, give thanks. And he didn't say forever. He said, in, while you're in it, the good things and the bad things, while you're in it, give thanks to God, for this is the will of God concerning you. People struggle. What's the will of God? I can tell you, there's three verses. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything that you're going through, give thanks. Give thanks in everything. This is the will of God concerning you. You know the will of God concerning you? Raise your hand if you want to know. You probably already know because I just got through telling you. Rejoice. Always. Find, partner with your... Joy is within your reach if you just obey him. It's within your reach. It's within my reach. Pray without ceasing. Have a heart that's prayerful. And then begin to understand that we need to rejoice, to give thanks in everything. And this is the will of God. When we are not grateful, we are in opposition to the will of God in your life. Being ungrateful, you are in opposition to the will of God in your life. I'm going to go on this side. When you are ungrateful, you are in opposition to the will of God in your life. It's true. If that's the will of God to be thankful, and that's the will of God concerning you, when you're not thankful, you're in opposition to his will. But we're learning to be grateful. We're learning to be thankful. We're learning to say thank you. I don't understand what I just went through, and matter of fact, it hurts. Matter of fact, it hurts deeply. But I give you thanks. And I praise you for who you are. I don't understand, but I give you thanks. I'm grateful. And that's our life. Okay, it's time to close. I got 7 pages. Had 7 pages. And more than likely, most of that was for me. I'll be very honest with you. I don't really study for you. I study more for me. If it doesn't touch my life, I have no authority in telling you how to do your life. It has to touch mine. It has to touch mine. Thank you. Let's stand. Lord, we do thank you for your life and your love that you've extended to us. Lord, you have been good to me. You have been good to me. And I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. And I praise you for who you are. Let our hearts grow in our gratitude to you and to others so that we won't have any contamination of self-trust or entitlement that's close to us. Lord, let us be at a place that we're in our gratitude, you'll lead us to your worship. And true worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, we are looking for miracles. Some of us standing here today need a miracle in life. So Lord, let our obedience to you produce the miracles that we need, the provision that we need. And Lord, let our light so shine that when men see our good works, that they too will glorify the Father who is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Don't eat too much turkey. God bless all of you.